Hanya than Rav Shmuel Yosef, who is your platitist today. From Hebron, Kuf Beit, at the top of Omid Beit. Ravashi, Huka Ashlosha Malachim. Ravashi finished his shir just before he came to the mission of Shlosha Malachim, which is known to us as the first mission in Chedek. Omar, so he says, Lamocha Niftach B'Chadrin. Tomorrow, Shir, we will start with our friend, Menashe, the Rosha, and he said it in a very derogatory way. As understandable, Menashe was a Rosha, Marusha, B'Tachlis Harishus. Also Menashe, Chazalei B'Chelmei. That night, Menashe appeared to Rav Ashi Nezri. Omer, Chazok V'Chadei, Zavok Kori, say, what mitzvah you have calling me your friend, your father's friend? Mehechle Bois Levishra HaMoitzi. When you make the moitzi of a loaf of bread, where do you make the incision? Omer Lei, Lo Yedana. They don't, never heard of this halacha. Omer Lei, you have not yet learned how to make a moitzi. The chavah chorusri, and you calling me a chavah hachutzah? How dare you? Omale, so Rabashi said to Menashe in his dream, Admirali, you teach me. Will walk the Rishna late Mishimcha the Pirka. Tomorrow when I give Shia, I will say it in your name. So he said to him, Mehesha de Korim Bishulam, where the crust, the first place for the crust to fall on the dough, that is where you cut the bread for the moitzi. Omele, so Rav Ashi said, Me'acha de Chatimitsu Kulehad, since you're so very intelligent, my Tameko Palkitsu La'avoydus Kachovit, so why did he worship idols? Omeleisu said to him, "He havis hotam. If you were there, my time havis nokit v'shepule glimen. You would have lifted up the four corners of your jacket. V'rohas lavatzol you would have run. You wouldn't have just walked. You would have run." And Rashi explains the reason is because of the pull, the strength of the attraction of Avodah Zarah was tremendously strong, and Menashe said, "We walked to it. You would have run." And Menashe explains, and why Pater did the Rashi not run. Anybody who studies the Daf HaYomi will know the answer. On Samach Tes on the base in Yuma, the Gemara tells us the Amche Knesset Hagdolah, they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mevakel the yetzer hara of Avodah Zarah, and Rabbi Shlom gave them their wish, and from that time onward no sane, sensible person, certainly not amongst us, wants to worship Avodah Zarah. But we don't understand the tremendous pull it had in those days before the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is known, of course, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were the people who authored our Shemoneh Esrei. And I don't think it's too remote a possibility to say that when they saw the tremendous success of their tefillah, and they also had another success in their tefillah, they decided we'll put tefillah on the map. Now, they decided to write what we call the Amidah, and they decided there must be 18 brachos in that Amidah. And the question is, what gave them the idea of punkt, 18 brachos? And there's a Medrash Rabbah, and say for Bereshis and Shalmi and other sources. In Chumash, the words Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov together in one pasuk appear 18 times. And because this phrase, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, or phrase very similar to, they're actually 19. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, together with the Obot, appears only 18 times. And therefore they decided, on this number, we will base the number of prophets in the Amidah. Now, what was so special about the fact that the Obot appear in one pasuk 18 times? And I think it's quite simple, really. The Gemara says, Tfilos Obot Tikno. The Tfilos are a tikkun of the Obot. That's no contradiction to what we've just said. The Obot from the Satin ate Tfilos at Shachris, Minach, and Maariv. But what was that Tfilos? Up to the time of the Anshei Knesset Dayot, everybody chose their own Nusach. The Anshei Knesset Dayot said, right, we'll have an Amidah, and we'll have 18 prophets because of this connection with the Obot. Some time ago, one of my Talmidim, one of my senior citizens, asked me, why is it that we daven Shachris and say Slichas? Why not say davening and daven Slichas? So I said to him, alright, well, ask me a better question. What is the source of the word davening? And of course he didn't know that, he would have asked me silly questions. It is a shortened form of the word the avunoim, of our fathers. That's the source. So it says in the Talmud in Holim. The avunoim, our ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they made the idea of davening to davening. So of course you can daven, but you can't daven slichas because they never made the slichas. That came later. Now, in my youth, I had some connection with being of German origin, and there they called it Ohren. And I wondered, what does this funny word Ohren, what they got to do with davening? The answer is very simple. Mashmia le ozno. Your ears must hear what you say. Please, the Kitchela, that's Ohren. Anyway, let's get back to where we were. We have many examples of the Obot and Tfilos. Obot and Tfilos are very much interrelated. Now, let's start with Avraham Avinu. What was his first Tfilos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, before the Bris HaBesorim, you will have children. So Avraham said, "Umatitin li anol kahela harili uben meis shekbeisi who dametet yaliezer." And Kodesh Baruch Hu lo yirosh chozeh. So he was mispalel that he should have a spiritual heir. And Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Don't worry, lo yirosh chozeh." Then later on, Yishmael was born, and the year before Yitzchok was born, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Sarah will have a son." The cross of Shema Yitzchak, etc. So he said, Lu Yishmoel Yich Yelechonecha. Very grateful for Sarah's son, but Yishmoel is also my son. And he prayed that he should have a spiritual life. So what did Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Only Yishmoel Shematicha. Okay. Now that is not very surprising after all. Self-interest. Children's interest. What is far more interesting is the next tefillah of Avraham Avinu. He davened for Sodom. When he was told Sodom was going to be destroyed, not only davened, a gantz of marotet tefillah, maybe 50, if not 50, maybe 45, if not 45, let's try 40, and if not 40, let's try 30, and if not 30, let's try 20, and what about 10? These were Roshoyim Gemurim. Avraham would have no truck with them at all. Avraham never tried to convert these Sodom. We're going to show him the Gemurim. But when it comes to destroying them, that's a bit. Then Avraham's feeling for every human being takes over and he's responsible. the next pillar of Avraham Avinu, also very strange. Abimelech takes away Sarah from her husband against his will and against her will. And you know what happens next. So Abimelech comes to Avraham eating humble pie, please daven for me. So he did. Now anybody else could have turned around and said, look, you can suffer. How dare you take my wife? That's what he could have said, but he didn't. And I'd like to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, what the Hamikdash says about this and other incidents. In Sefer Yehoshua and in Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Bereish is called Sefer HaYoshon. Why? It is the life story of Yesholim. Now, what is the difference between, let us say, a tzaddik on the one hand and a yoshor on the other? Says in the tzid, the difference is this. A tzaddik does the right thing. A yoshor is extremely tolerant of others who do not share his views. Now, you see this very clearly. Avraham, he certainly didn't share any common ground with Sodom, but he daven for them. Yitzchak was evicted from Abimelech's country without having done anything wrong except getting rich. And then the Medrash tells us, you can find it in the Talmud Yoidison, that all the fruit trees in Abimelech's land died, and all sorts of natural calamities followed. So Abimelech said, made one and one equals two. So he went to apologize to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak could have said, well, you've dug your own grave, get on with it. Oh no, not Yitzchak. You want to be peaceful, let's make peace. That's it. They stole his wells, all these things don't matter. You want to be friends, we'll be friends. And what about Yaakov? Yaakov was cheated, first of all, with Rachel and Leah. You know, that's a big enough cheat, isn't it? But when they went into business together, Vayaklin is Maskuti Aseres Moinim. The Chazal say means 100 times, the Kudim, Varudim, Akudim, 100 times. So, as Laban was known as the arch swindler, actually his name wasn't Laban anyway, but Laban, you know, in English you say red hot. In Rosh HaKodesh you say white hot. He was a white hot swindler, so he was called Lodon. His name was Kmuel. But anyway, absolute wrong swindler. And yet, when he said to Yaakov, let's make a deal, what did Yaakov say? Go and get lost? No. You want to make a deal? Make a deal. These people taught us tolerance. And that is why it's called Sefer HaYoshua. So, Avraham and his son and grandson, but what we're talking today is not so much about tolerance, but the Koyach HaTefillah. Now, we've seen Avraham's Koyach HaTefillah. Now let's go a little further. Yitzchak. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Batzodel Lifnos Omer. Chazal say, Yitzchak Musachim Tfilas Mincha. But why does the Torah point out just that day? So, says Berbatim, that he was mitzvahed for the Hatzlocha of Eliezer's mission, to find him the right wife. And here we have an example of Shohoyo Terim Yikro Vane'ene. As soon as he finished, there comes Rivka, the answer to his prayers. And of course, Eliezer, following in the example of his master, also went to Sala to find the right girl. Teren Kilula Davir, he hardly finished, he hasn't finished yet, and Rivka appears on the scene. The Koyach HaTefillah of our Oves was something remarkable. Now, what about Yaakov? Now, where do we find Yaakov being mistaken? Well, the first time we find it is when he had to run away from Esau, and he had the dream in the ladder, and he was Mustalov, Bishkorchu, if I get back home safely after Tetchanelov. But there's something more remarkable in the writings of the Shimon Shvabo of Roshon. I was lucky to know that man personally, and I've never came across a better Darshan. He asked the following question. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonod. What's cooking with Esau? And he's coming 400 mercenaries. How does Yaakov react? Vayiron Yaakov Ma'oid Vayit Salonim. Very frightened and distressed. You all know what Rashi said. He was frightened of being killed, distressed at the idea of killing others. Anyway, he was scared stiff. So, what does he do? What does any do when they're in trouble? Davening. And what was the result of this davening? Quite amazing. It says that Yaakov, being prudent, he did three things. Doiram, he sent him a vast gift of 550 animals and diamonds and other things. Milchomo, Voyachet, Esoma, Shito, and Tfilo. Right? Okay. That's the prudent thing to do under the circumstances. Be prepared for whatever might transpire. And the next morning, very strange. Esau is coming with these 400 mercenaries. What does Yaakov do? He sets out his family. The two Shapophers were their two sons each. Then comes Leah with her children, and finally Rachel and Yosef. Hey, where are Yaakov's soldiers to fight? Can't see any. What's happened? Says Rav Shva, that's what happened. Yaakov had such in his tefillah, he lost all his fear. Fear, you know, Rabbi, is tied to the emotion. You either feel it or you don't. You can pretend not to, but honestly, you either fear or you don't. When Yaakov said his tefillah, then you know Yaakov's mind. He was very much afraid. When he finished, calm took over. Ah, he felt a different person. No fear whatsoever. Esau, this is my family. How do you do? Haven't seen you for 36 years. Koyach HaTfilah. This is something which we must never ever underestimate. It's koyach and its potential. Tefillah is something tremendous, and we must be mischazik ourselves in tefillah, and of course pass it on to our children as a deed whose find the others did it. And the further you go through Jewish history, or perhaps better call it Tanakh, you find this tremendous koyach of tefillah. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu. How many times did he save Klal Yisrael from total disaster? Well, let's take, well, the Klal Yisrael themselves, before Moshe appeared on the scene. Vayitzak lo Hashem, they cried. Now Yishmael of him, the bunch of listens to tefillah, especially of the oppressed, but even to people who you and I would say they don't deserve to have their tefillah answered. I think I've mentioned before the Indian of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he prayed that the bunch of them shouldn't listen to the tefillah of the Ovel Ezrachim. There's a Gemara in Moed Cotton, that Yud Chet on the base. And it's a halacha which I'm sure everybody knows when it comes to the 3 weeks, we have to learn halacha the 3 weeks. And I'm sure everybody's learned that you're not allowed to have a chasana during the 3 weeks. But la'aretz, to have erusin, to say hariyat mekudeshesli b'tabasu l'asmosh yitzol in front of two eidim, that is perfectly allowed, even on Tisha B'Av itself. What's the reason? Shema yekavnenu acher. In case, if I'm not, I want to be a covetous woman. And if you tell me, sorry, 3 weeks, can't be done, so I'll have to go on my way, she'll go, and maybe she'll get married to somebody else. Hold on a minute. But doesn't the Gemara say that 30 days, 40 days before a person is conceived, bas kol yotze, bas ploini le ploini? No, if a bas kol yotze, the Bnei Shem decreed that this man should marry this woman, so what if they don't get married on Tisha B'Av? They get married the next day, next week, next month. Zok de Gemara, Hashem, yotavnenu barachamim, which means, now I'll give you a tip by the side. If you learn Moyes Cotton, you'd be well advised whenever you get stuck to consult the Rashi on the Rif. They say that the Rashi on the Rif is better, it's more original than the Rashi we have printed next to the model. Now Rashi on the Rif says, Shemi Kadmane Achvarachmi means, Stila can be Mavachal Ibizela. Yes, it might be that the Baskol came said, and let's say Reuben should marry Rachel. But if Shimon falls in love with Rachel, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, please, I beg you, allow me to become the husband of this woman. Bottle. The Baskol, the Gezeira, bottle. You were mispalil, put your kavona into it, you win. So that is the Koyach HaShimon, even the Gezeira, which Rabbi Shalom made. No, there's nothing which stands in the way of filler. Filler is the greatest power on earth. And let's get back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, when the Eden were in danger at the Yam Suf, the Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael HaShem, the b'nei Yisrael Davin, and Rashi gives them a nice pat on the back, Popsum the Tavoshom, they're just following the tradition of their fathers. And then there's a prophet which says, "Va'yoyim Hashem Moshe, ma'titzach elai, davir abnei Yisrael v'yosov." So says Paramut Mukdash, "Ma'titzach, niskavul tzloisach. Your tefillah has been accepted. There's no need to daven anymore. What you've davened up to now is sufficient, and Klal Yisrael are saved." That was the first time, and then, when it comes to the eagle, Rabban Shalom threatens to destroy Klal Yisrael by Chal Moshe. And then comes Tavero, when they grumbled, a fire came down from heaven, Moshe was in Spalo, saved them again. Miraculous. By not the extra problems, the tenth time, Moshe was in Spalo, and again, his Koyach HaTfilah saves Klal Yisrael from disaster. And as I'm sure you all know the Rashi, that when the Bolok, the Melech Moyov, was afraid of what Klal Yisrael might do to him, he consulted Midian, because they said Moshe is Nistagul, the Midian. So they asked, Bameh Choy Choy Godoy, what is his great power? Bepeh, his Choy Chatzilah, his great strength is doubling, so we go, alright, we'll get somebody else who's quite a little bit. Then it didn't work to decide the point. But they, even the Goyim, realized that Moshe Rabbeinu is quite a little bit. I'd just like to finish off with something on this week's parasha. Those of us who are old enough remember a man called Mr. Pierpont. You look tough. You should remember. He was a hangman. He was a fellow who hanged people who were found guilty of murder or, well, the only crime for which people were hanged in the days of our youth. His name was Mr. Pierpoint. He got a nice obituary in the Telegraph about 10 years ago. Yeah, of course they banished him death penalty, so. But anyway, that was his name. And he was just following the chain of people. There was a job, a government job called public hangman. The Torah has Doshah, Lahabdul Elmas, Abdullah doesn't say that. The Torah says, in this week, Sedra, Yad Ho Eidim, Tiyaboy Vero Shoyna Lahamisoy, the Yad Kolom Lahweva. The Eidim, they actually put the guilty person to death. If for some reason, let's take Skila the simplest, a person's quiet Skila was taken up on a platform, twice the height of a normal person, and underneath was rock, and the agent pushed him, and if the fall killed him, good. Otherwise, Yad Kolam Bo'achoyla. But anyway, so the question is, why does the Torah have this rule? Why can't the Torah say, well, appoint a public hangman and finish, leave it, or some not hangman, a public execution and leave it at that? So, there's one obvious answer, and that is, there are very wicked people. They're so wicked, they're prepared to give false evidence which will result in a person's death. They're not that wicked that they'll actually do it. So by telling us Yad Ho'edim, so that is a deterrent against giving false evidence. But there's something more profound, and that is this. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, has an effect on us. If we see good things, it has a good effect. If we see bad things, it has a bad effect. Now, these Eidim, they saw, let's say, Chilul Shabbos. They told this man, don't light this cigarette, today is Shabbos. If you do light it, you're Chayav Misa. Don't jump. Right, so we go to the Beis Din and we report this man, having been told not to, was Mechalel Shabbos. Now, by seeing Chilul Shabbos, the commitment of these Eidim to Shmirah Shabbos has been slightly diminished. Because if you see it, it has an effect. So how do the Eidim get it out of their system? How can the Eidim get back to their respect for Shmirah Shabbos, or for life of man, or anything else you like to think about, as it was before they saw the crime? If they themselves punish that person, then that will restore their respect. If they see the person punished, it's not the same thing. But if they do it themselves, then their respect will return. And the Chofetz Chaim says that this is the pshat in another pasuk in this week's Seder. The roads to the Orem Miklot have to be signposted so that the Rotzeach doesn't have to ask which way. So he asked an obvious kasha. Well, what about Oile Regel? Millions of Oile Regolim wanted to know the way to Yerushalayim. Why doesn't the Torah say Tochin Locho Hader to Yerushalayim? For one odd Rotzeach, yes. And for millions of Oile Regel, no. This is that the answer. Rebbe Yochanan does not want anybody to hear, which is good. Which is the way to the Miklot? If you hear that question, you immediately know murder, either deliberate or unwitting, has been committed. That's not good to hear the shit. So we spoke to talking about that. The question should not be asked. But the other hand, tell me, my friend, which way to Yerushalayim? That's just what you want to hear. You want to hear people are in the rabble. You want to hear people are bringing karbonis. So therefore, there was no talking about that. That people should hear good things which will inspire them. Thank you.